You're listening to Minimalish, a podcast where we talk about simplifying our stuff, our lives, our motherhood, all in a realistic way so that we can make room for what matters. We're not here for perfectly tidy homes or seeing how much we can possibly declutter. We're here for living with less. Realistically, it's going to look different for all of us, but we're not really focused on how our version of minimalism looks anyways. We're focused on how it feels. I'm your host, Desiree. I'm a mom to two and on my own journey of living with a little less clutter so I can have more space for an intentional life. I'm no expert, and I like to think of this as a corner of the internet where we're learning and growing together. So let's walk towards a more simple and intentional life. Here's this week's episode. Welcome back to Minimalish. Today, I'm very excited to have Michaelyn Smith as my guest. Michaelyn recently released a book called House Rules, and it is the perfect companion to this series that we are currently in, where we are getting intentional within our homes. Her book lists, and I put this in air quotes, rules for decorating our homes, making them calm, inviting spaces, making them spaces that reflect us. And I really do think that this is part of getting intentional with our homes. But the rules that we specifically focus on in this interview do deal a lot with keeping our homes a little more minimal in some way or another. Most of all, as a person who is not naturally inclined when it comes to home decor, I love this conversation because it is practical for those of us that don't feel like they have a home decorating gene. Michaelyn talks about how everything can be learned, and if this is something that is important to us within our homes, we can learn it and we can find a way that fits for us and our families. If you're not familiar with Michaelyn yet, she is also known as the Nester. She's the New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author of Welcome Home and Cozy Minimalist Home. For the past 17 years, she's been encouraging women to embrace their space, imperfections and all, and make it their own. I also want to remind you that we are in this series about getting intentional at home. And in our first episode, we all set a goal of one thing, maybe one or two things we wanted to take action on during this series. So we have a few weeks in the series left. But I hope that you're making progress towards your goal. If not, I just wanted to put it to the front of your mind this week, because maybe while you listen to this episode, it is the perfect time to start. So let's dive in to my conversation with Michaelyn. Michaelyn, I'm so excited to have you back on the show and just to hear more about all you've been talking about with your new book. You've been on the show before once, but that was a long time ago. If you could just give our listeners a brief bit about who you are and what you do, just in case they're not familiar with you.
I would love to. Well, my name is Michaelyn Smith, which is a mouthful. So when I started on the internet, I went by the Nester. So I'm also known by the Nester because I just assumed that the internet was full of killers about 17 years ago when I started online. But I see the world through house-colored glasses. And I just love everything about home. I love learning about home. I love decorating home. I love every home I think has potential. And so that's what I do online. I encourage women in their homes. I am an imperfectionist. I believe it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. I am a cozy minimalist. I want the most amount of beautiful style with the least amount of stuff. I'm a teacher. I have a private community. I write books. I do Instagram, just whatever it takes. However, I can encourage people in their home. That's what I try to do.
I love it because we're going to talk about this in a couple of minutes here, but I am not naturally gifted with like home decor gifts. I don't know, talent. And so I love what you do because you keep it simple. And I also love kind of the minimalism aspect of it. And when we had you on the show before, you talked about cozy minimalism, but today we're going to talk about kind of just like simplified home decor, really. And we're going to talk about that through the lens of your new book, which I'm really excited about, called House Rules. So can you give us a little bit of an overview of what the book's about, why you wanted to write it?
Absolutely. I wrote it because of something you just said, which was, I wasn't really born knowing how to decorate. Or someone might say, I wasn't really born with a decorating gene. Someone actually said that exact phrase to me after I wrote my last book. I had written 3 books and I thought, oh, phew, I've said everything there is to say about home. And then a reader, I happened to meet her and she said, I have all of your books. I really like them, but I haven't done anything yet because I just wasn't born with a decorating gene, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, I have completely failed at my job. I have not done my job. If a reader of mine believes that she cannot make progress because she's not naturally talented, then I, as a teacher, need to do better at this. How can I help her? How can I help anyone out there that feels like it's just the cards aren't in it for them? And I understand how that feels because I know I have many things in my life when it comes to makeup. I'm like, I wasn't born knowing how to do makeup. Or, I mean, I can even relate to it as early as elementary school thinking, well, I'm bad at spelling. I am a horrible speller. I almost failed spelling in elementary school because I thought every Friday when we got that test, I thought it was a test on what we knew. And you either knew it or you didn't. Good luck, kid. And this girl did not know how to spell words. So I kept getting bad grades until finally a teacher came to me and said, you're allowed to study. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to study. This is a way for you to learn and to get better. Here's some help. Study in a group. Here are some fun things that you can learn, some ways to learn. Here are some practices. Here's some I before E, except after C, like some fun little things to help you remember how to spell words. So suddenly, no matter what words I was spelling, no matter what I was writing, I had some tools to help me do better. It is the exact same way with decorating and really with any skill that we want to learn. All decorating is making logical decisions in the right order. But if we don't have a coach, if we don't have a field guide or a handbook to kind of help us know what to do, we don't know those fun little rules like I before E, except after C, but when that applies to our sofa. So I wrote 100 of them and I've got 100 fun house rules. You can open the book to any page. It'll be like rule. It'll be stupid and quirky and unforgettable. And then it'll have a picture of it in action and you can get up from your sofa and go change something. Because I think sometimes we imagine that someone who is a good decorator, maybe what happens in their house is they walk into a room that needs some help and they instantly know exactly what to get and where to put it. And ta-da, it looks great. That's not how it happens. What we don't see is all the troubleshooting is, ooh, that sofa doesn't look good. So now what do I do? And that is where the good decorating happens, is when something doesn't look right, now what? So for me, I think the funnest part about teaching, making better decorating decisions, learning about decorating is answering the why. Why in my last house, when I put that artwork or that candlestick or that tchotchke on my mantle, did it look amazing? And why, when I moved to this house, does it look ridiculous? And there is a reason, and there are house rules to help you figure out the reason.
Yeah, when I was looking through these rules, I just loved it because, like I mentioned, it's not something I'm naturally inclined to, but I fully relate to everything that you're saying with like everything is teachable, right? And everything is learnable. Some people might be naturally inclined to one thing, other people naturally inclined to another. And thanks to the internet, we can learn pretty much anything we possibly want to. And so I love the simplicity of these rules. And I keep saying simplicity, but like that what you've put here is simple, but it is. It's just like, it makes sense in my brain the way that you have written this book. And
oh, that's such a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. And so I'm really excited for this interview because I love that there are just like some roles we can pick and choose from and dive into together. And I think home decor is a really fun thing, especially when you stop feeling like a mental block where you're like avoiding it because you just don't feel like you know how to do it. So as we kind of dive into this, I do want to talk a little bit more about what you just said. So you said that someone had mentioned to you that you know, she felt like she just wasn't born with that home decorating gene. So you say that no one is born with a home decorating gene in the book. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think you made a good point of like some people are naturally inclined, but I would redefine the naturally inclined to some people are more prone to figure out the why in certain areas than other areas. And I do think that some of us are like, well, I want to figure it out with my house. And then some people are like, well, I want to figure it out with my car or with teaching or with accounting. So we all have these areas that we've already kind of put the work into, but there is no actual decorating gene.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. Why, like for you, someone who feels like very inclined and loves to decorate and share about it with others, what's your kind of why behind home decor, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And my why is not so I can have a pretty house to show off, not so I can be in a magazine. It's so that I can forget about my house, so that I don't have to think about my house anymore, so I can use it, so I can invite people over at a moment's notice, so it's ready to be used and enjoy, ready to be flexible, ready to, if one of my kids needs to be move back home, if we are suddenly hosting a dinner, I want it to be ready to use. I want it to work for me. I want it to serve our family. Do I love beautiful things? I do. And I love a beautiful house. But ultimately, we have this house so it can be fully used, abused, and like every room taken full advantage of.
Yeah. I love that because really, it sounds like to me, like what it's about is function, like to have every space be functional and ready to go for just enjoying the people who are in your home or who come over to your home. So, okay, I want to dive into some of the rules because that's just what's so fun about this book. You have a list of 100 rules in the book and then you dive deeper into these 100 rules. So can you just give us like a couple of the rules that are maybe your favorites for helping us redecorate or reconfigure a room so that, you know, we might feel about that room right now, but then we're going to feel like this room is functional. It's exactly how I want it to be.
Absolutely. So the nice thing about these rules is just like in I before E, except after C, it applies to like all types of writing. The universal decorating truths, it doesn't matter what your personal style is, doesn't matter what kind of house you live in, it doesn't matter how much money or resources you have, they still apply and help you make decisions. So they are laid out kind of in order of how you would work through a room. So one of the early on rules that I really like is that you can't ruin something you already hate, which is very helpful for those of us, maybe if we have a limited resource in time or money, or maybe we don't have a lot of store, maybe we live way out in the country, we don't have a lot of stores available to us. And, you know, we have maybe some extra furniture or some extra pieces to remember that we can't ruin something if we already hate it. Gives us the freedom to take a little baby step risk. And I think that it's almost like risk training, you know, with the training wheels on, to just give ourselves permission to practice painting a piece of furniture or practice maybe putting gold leaf on a frame or whatever. When we have something that we're going to get rid of anyway, or we got for $5 at the yard sale, to start with that and see if we can make something with that. So that's one of my favorite rules.
I love that one so much. And you mentioned there about just, you know, not being able to afford what it takes to fully redecorate and reconfigure a room. So I know one thing you talk about is being able to refurbish on a dime using what you have, just like you said, or like $5. You know, it's the thing that you found at a yard sale. So can you dive a little deeper into that? Because for me, I usually am like, if I'm feeling like I want to redecorate a room for the sake of minimalism or my budget, whatever it is at that moment, I don't want to go out and buy a bunch of new stuff. So you mentioned yard sale items. What are some other ways that you teach people to reconfigure a room without spending a bunch of money?
Well, two ways. One, first of all, Facebook Marketplace is absolutely on fire. You can find everything for nothing, but you do have to have the resource of time and patience. And obviously you have to live close enough to someone where you can find stuff for sale, but I have found some of my favorite pieces, and I'm at the point in my life where I do have some budget, and I still will look on Facebook Marketplace because I believe that secondhand items add that layer of soul, add that, I don't know, just that beautiful lived in welcoming layer. If I was the richest person in the world, I would still buy secondhand items. That is how much they add like depth and meaning to our home. Another thing is, I like to say, well, one of the house rules, test it before you invest in it. And so sometimes, let's say I think, oh, you know, I would like to have in my dining room maybe two bigger chairs, like one on each end. Maybe I only have six chairs and I want eight. Well, instead of starting to go shop on Facebook Marketplace for chairs, I will shop my house and say, well, let me practice with some chairs I already have. Now, sometimes I realize, oh, that pair of chairs in my bedroom that has been in the corner for years actually looks really good at my dining room, and so I can solve it. Or sometimes that helps me figure out what I'm really looking for and gives me confidence. Well, the pair of chairs that I put in my dining room are really tall, and suddenly it feels like it takes up visually a lot of space. So I know that I want to look for chairs with a low back, or I know the chairs that I'm practicing with, that I shop my house with, they're really dark and they look too shadowy, and it like draws your eye. It just is a layer of confidence of helping you know what you are and are not looking for. Also, like this desk that you can't see because all my stuff is on it. I recently was evaluating my office, and everything that I had in my office, I actually purchased for my office in my last house. It was my son's room, and he went off to college, and I finally had my own office, and it just was a different room. And then we moved here, and I moved my office furniture in, and we also had some furniture that I no longer needed from my last house, but I really liked. So I put all that stuff in here too. Needless to say, my office had a lot of big furniture in it, and I realized they were storage pieces that were kind of empty. It was just hard for me to get rid of them because they had served me so well at my last house. Finally, in just the past month or so, I was able to release those, give them away to a better home. They're so much happier now. They're being loved. So I knew that I needed a new desk. And I thought, I had used like a circular, basically a dining room table for my desk at my last house. It served me really well. But I wanted something different. So I thought, well, I don't know what I want yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to test it before I invest in it. And I went to our garage and I got a fold up table. And then I had an old linen sheet that I threw over it. So I thought what that will tell me is how big of a table. Do I want it bigger than this that I'm practicing with? Do I like the size? Well, let me tell you what I learned. This actually works for me exactly how it is. I don't even need to buy a table. So I have a fold-up table in my office with a sheet draped over it. And it's so great because I have like my rolling cart with my podcast stuff and my extra, you know how we have like extra lights and an extra monitor, all that junky stuff you don't want to see. Well, having a sheet is like, it hides everything, but I can easily get to it. And so what that did was being willing to be patient, being willing to test something ridiculous out actually became a really cool solution. Another thing, I know this is kind of stupid, but my last desk, which was that round dining room table, it had a pretend marble top. And in the mornings, I would come to my office, I put my coffee on, I put my arms on, it was cold, it was like uninviting, it was kind of like, go away. Well, now I have a cozy sheet and it's soft and warm. And like, I didn't even think how that was affecting me. But it was like a 10% layer of another way to kind of welcome me to my office. I never would have thought about having a desk, and maybe I'll use this for 6 months. Maybe I'll use it for the rest of my life. I don't know. But I'm really grateful that I didn't just say, well, I need a new desk, so I shall go to Pottery Barn and buy the most expensive. No, no, no. I already had all this stuff and it's serving me so well. And I never would have known if I hadn't just taken the time to use what I have and kind of play around with it.
That is so great. I love that. And it's, for me, anytime I feel like a room feels just not right, that's the first thing I do, is I'm just like rearranging furniture around my house. But I love the idea of a fold-out table. A lot of us probably have those just like lying around, and I just love that now you're just using it because it worked good enough, even though it's not an actual desk, like it works for you. So I just love that. If you ever feel like you are making the same five things over and over again each week for dinner, and you're pretty sick of what you are making, Green Chef is my go-to for when I'm feeling in a meal planning rut. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. They send you organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a cleaner routine and that just make it easy to get dinner on the table. Each week, you get to choose from 80-plus flavor-packed options, and you can easily customize your meals to suit your lifestyle with preferences like keto, plant-based, Mediterranean, gut and brain health, calorie smart, quick and easy, protein packed, and gluten free. I really love that you get to take back your time with Green Chef because you make this delicious dinner in 30 minutes. You don't have to worry about trying a new recipe and spending hours in your kitchen because Green Chef gives you everything you need and dinner is on the table within 30 minutes. In our latest Green Chef delivery, I was really surprised that my favorite was an herby chicken bulgur bowl with lemon crema. If you don't know what a bulgur bowl is, I did not know what it was either, but I was intrigued and we tried it and I loved it so much. It had mint in the recipe, which I wasn't sure about, but I know by now to trust Green Chef with their recipe suggestions. It was just the perfect combination of flavors, and I honestly want to eat it over and over again. Go to greenchef.com/minimalish50 and use code minimalish50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/minimalish50 and use code minimalish50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. I pulled a couple of rules from the book that would be fun to discuss with minimalism in mind. And when I'm trying to figure out my house, we've moved a lot lately. Like I said, one of the things I do is rearrange furniture and try to use what I have. So that's one way for me that minimalism kind of plays into the way I decorate, I guess, or just try to reconfigure rooms in my house. But some of these rules I just thought were perfect. One of them I loved. It is rule 37, and it says, does your room look naked? That's all it says. Obviously, I know you have the deeper dive there, but on the list, if you're looking through, you see number 37 and it says, does your room look naked? And I just love how quirky some of these are. Can you share some tips for someone who feels like their room does look naked? Because for me, with minimalism, that's one thing is that it has me in this in-between in some of the rooms where I'm almost afraid to make the next move because I don't want to acquire things that aren't going to actually end up right. I don't want to make it end up looking cluttery, but I also don't want it to feel naked. I've had lots of walls that have felt naked for way too long.
Well, first of all, I am a big fan of minimalism. And I'm also a fan of beauty. And I think you are as well. I think we all have different levels. So we all get to decide what feels like too much and what feels like not enough to us. One of the things that I have learned, well, there's two tips. Number one is if we can add a layer of coziness to our rooms and to our homes and to our spaces without adding stuff to our surfaces, I think that's a really great way to satisfy that simplicity that we need, but also get like a little bit cozier feel. Two ways I like to do that. Number one is with an area rug. When we have a big rug in our room, I know it's like adding another layer, even adding it over carpet. I know in our last rental house, I didn't love the carpet. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to invest in a big area rug because I can take it with me. And then I get to control the narrative of what this carpet is saying. And, you know, a carpet is this big. It doesn't take up space. But if you're a pattern girl, if you're a color girl, if you're a texture girl, you suddenly get to add a layer of that. but your surfaces are still empty. Your walls can still be quiet. The other thing that I think adds this layer of coziness is window treatments. The ideal window treatment does not cover your window. It covers the wall. Long drapes that hang around your windows, still getting all the natural light you want. And if you need functional drapes that close at night, that's fine. But there's something about adding a layer of softness on a window. I have them in my office, even though I have shutters that were here when we bought the house for privacy. It allows me to have this feeling of coziness without having a bunch of extra stuff. I have a little gallery wall over there, and then I have this behind me, like one piece of art. I'm a girl that likes my walls to be quiet. But as a cozy minimalist, I have learned that one way to get a lot of style for a little effort is to nail that scale. Meaning, if I want to make a visual impact in my home and have it feel like me and my style and kind of make like, wow, is that I'm going to choose the bigger one, whatever it is. If I need a vase, I'm going to get the big vase. If I need a mirror, I'm going to get the big mirror. If I need, you know, whatever it is, wall art or candle holder, I usually opt for the larger one because it fills up the room with only adding one item.
Oh, I love that last tip. That is something I never really thought of, but as you were saying it, I was thinking about how, like, if I get something, if I'm looking for a mirror, for example, and I get something that is small and it looks too, I don't know, it just like looks too small in the wall, then you feel like you need to add something else. Yeah. So yeah, I love that. I love that. So simple, but.
And that is how the world's worst accidental gallery walls get started, is that someone gifted us a little and we know in our psyche, we innerly know that it's too small for the wall. And so instead of saying, well, I will find a better place for that and then I will get a larger piece. No. What do we all do? We just like, well, I'll buy more stuff and add to it. It's exactly the opposite of what we want to do. Let's find a great spot for that small piece of art. And then let's buy the one right size piece of art or create or DIY. I make my own art all the time out of old canvases or whatever I have laying around. But the scale is everything, and it can really take your house from having, you know, a room full of 300 things to a room that feels finished and decorated and has 29 items.
So good. I love it. Well, the other rule that I pulled that I thought kind of fit a less cluttered home is rule 87 says store on the floor no more. So can you just explain a little bit more about what you mean by this, what this rule might look like within our homes?
This is one of my personal weaknesses. My mom used to always say, when the floors are clean, the whole house is clean. And I pretty much agree with that. I have a really bad habit of, even right here next to my desk, I have a stack of books on the floor. In my bathroom, I'll have like a basket with hampers and then a basket of the dirty clothes and the basket of the clean clothes. Even right now by my back door, I've got a thing of Goodwill stuff. And then I have another thing of like food pantry stuff on the floor. And then I have a piece of furniture that needs to be taken out to the garage. And I find that I live about 40% of my life with stuff on the floor waiting to be taken somewhere else. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm decorating with my stuff that needs to go to the Goodwill, with my dirty laundry. And I don't want to store stuff perpetually on the floor. I have not conquered this. But when I take the time to get the stuff off the floor, put it in its place, and not have a lot of stuff that lives on the floor, baskets of blankets and throws, baskets of, you know, whatever it is, and just have a very few, my house suddenly feels cleaner and lighter and more organized.
Yeah, I love that. And I can fully relate. It just feels like I've got two little kids too. So it just feels like the stuff that I'm putting on the floor that needs to eventually go somewhere else, plus like the toys that they dumped, then it just feels like there's more to put away, even though there's not. So I just love that rule. Do you have any suggestions? Because I feel like it's common to have like a basket of blankets or store things in baskets. And that's just like a common tip for how to easily, I don't know, store a thing of toys in the corner in a basket. So do you have any suggestions of, not that we eliminate all floor basket storage, but other ways that we can store things?
Yes. Well, I am a big, huge fan of toys, and I do not have young children anymore. But when I did, we 100% had baskets of toys in every public room and probably private room of our house. That is what I believe baskets' highest calling is. I think that most of us don't need a basket with extra pillows in it. I think a lot of times we'll see a picture of a fireplace hearth and like on the fireplace is a basket with pillows, which I don't understand. Decorative pillows, they live their best life on the sofa. You should be decorating with them. So once you have enough for each corner of your sofa, you probably have enough. A throw can look beautiful placed on the sofa. So that is, to me, where they should live. They don't need to live in a basket. They should be shown off and decorated with. So I don't do that anymore. But I do think when you have young kids, I know I had a basket with all of my diaper stuff in it. I tried to always find something that would slide under my sofa so I could like easily change a diaper and then slide it back. But I definitely think that's what baskets are for, is for us to use them in that way. But don't do what I do and have your Goodwill sitting in a basket for 3 weeks. Then you're just decorating with that stuff.
I love that. Store things on the floor that actually would belong there, but not all the other stuff. Okay. Well, I have loved this conversation and I've loved the rules that we discussed. And I'm going to just direct anyone listening to your book so that they can explore so many more of these rules. And I just think it's like a fun read. It's a practical read. So many good things. Can you just quickly tell our listeners where they can find you if they want to follow along with you in other places other than the book?
Absolutely. I talk about home all the time and nonstop at thenester.com, on Instagram, at thenester, all sorts of places. And I just thank you for having me here today. I love the idea of minimal-ish. It's very graceful. Like, it's just very welcoming and approachable. And I love what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful we got to have this conversation. I do like to ask two quick questions at the end of every interview, so I can't let you go yet. The first question is, what's something that you are simplifying right now?
Oh, well, I'm literally decluttering things. My closet, I just did my nightstand. So small particular things that are in my own personal domain that no one else has any control of, no one else will ever open. And it's extremely rewarding.
I love that. Maintenance decluttering at the beginning of the year is so nice. Second question I like to ask is just fun. What's something that you're loving right now?
Well, I'm loving at night watching a show with my kids are home. We've been watching The Amazing Race. That and Survivor, like, well, you know, they're on at different times. So that's like our family shows. And it's fun because they have been since they were in high school and my kids are older now. And it's just something that we enjoy together. I just love that. I love a routine. And I look forward to it. We'll watch an episode tonight.
I love that. It's such a cozy routine. Our oldest is 6. So we started watching The Voice together because it's something my husband and I have always watched. And it's just so fun. And I like look forward to years and years of that in the future too.
Watch it forever.
Yes. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. It's just been such a fun conversation.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mike Willen. I just love how approachable she makes home decorating. And as a person who moved a little over a year ago now, my home still is not decorated. And this conversation really encouraged me to feel a little bit more confident with my abilities to do so. And the book, her book, House Rules, it is just like this beautiful coffee table style book. And it is just so fun to flip through and learn all of these rules that can help us feel more confident in our abilities to decorate and just have this cozy, minimalist home. I hope you have enjoyed this series so far as we've been talking about getting more intentional within our homes. And what better way than to find a space in our homes that's feeling kind of blah and make it a space that we love and want to be in. I hope this episode encouraged you to do that, and I am so grateful that you're here. If you enjoyed this episode, would you share it with a friend? You can text it to a friend or share it on social media in some way, whatever way you want to do that. I am thankful for you for spreading the word. And just thank you so much for listening in. I will talk to you right back here again on the next episode.